So, we've been studying the book of John, and we're moving into the 9th chapter of John. And this is, the whole chapter is about one incident. They divide it into a lot of different divisions, but actually it's about one incident and different interpretations of it. As he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples questioned him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" Oh, okay. So now we can get you the words. There we go. Okay. Jesus says, now the reason they're asking this, we'll see later, is because they were convinced that all bad things come from sin. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." After he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on the guy's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he left, washed, and came back seeing. His neighbors and those who formerly had seen him as a beggar said, "Isn't this the man who sat begging?" Some said, "He's the one." Others were saying, "No, but he looks like him." He kept saying, "I'm the one." Therefore they asked him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So when I went and washed, I received my sight." "Where is he?" they asked. "I don't know," he said. They brought the man who used to be blind to the Pharisees. The day that Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes was a Sabbath. So again, the Pharisees asked him how he received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," he told them. "I washed and I can see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man's not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a sinful man perform such signs?" And there was a division among them. Again, they asked the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" "He's a prophet," he said. The Jews did not believe this about him, so that he was blind and received his sight, until they summoned the parents of the one who had received his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, the one you say was blind, born blind? How then does he now see?" "We know this is our son, and that he was born blind," his parents answered. "But we don't know how he sees now, and we don't know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they were afraid of the Jews, since the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him as Messiah, he would be banned from the synagogue. This was why his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." So a second time they summoned the man who'd been blind and told him, "Give glory to God, we know this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I can see." Then they ask him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" "I already told you," he said, "and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You don't want to become his disciples too, do you?" They ridiculed him. "You're that man's disciple, but we're Moses' disciples. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but this man, we don't know where he's from." "This is an amazing thing," the man told them. "You don't know where he's from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. Throughout history, no one's ever heard of someone opening the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything." "You were born entirely in sin," they replied, "and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown the man out, he found him and asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" he asked. Jesus answered, "You have seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking to you." "I believe, Lord," he said, and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and asked him, "We aren't blind too, are we?" "If you were blind," Jesus told them, "you wouldn't have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we're here. We ask you to bless us and guide us and help me to explain all this and help us to grow from having been together and heard from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the background of this, Jesus was prophesied to give sight to the blind. One of the things that Isaiah said about him that you would know the Messiah by was that he would give sight to the blind. When, in fact, in the book of Luke, the people that were the disciples of John the Baptist sent to Jesus and said, "Are you the one, or should we look for somebody else?" And Jesus said, "You go tell John what you see, that the lame walk and the blind see, and good news is preached to the poor." And the idea was he was quoting what Isaiah had said, "How you will know." So they knew that Messiah was prophesied to give sight to the blind. Jesus did this often, more than once. This was different because he had just proclaimed himself to be the light of the world. And so now he's giving light to somebody born blind. Now, the important part about born blind was the disciples believed all bad came from sin. Since this was from birth, had the parents sinned that caused this boy to be born blind? Or had he done something in the womb that caused him that was sin? Or did God just know that he was going to sin? Hint, he knew he was going to sin. Everybody sins. Pharisees just didn't get it. So Jesus says neither of these. It's not him or his parents. He was put here so that I can show the work of God. Now you go all the way back to the book of Exodus, second book of the Bible, and God says he put Pharaoh in place and hardened his heart so that he could demonstrate his power. God puts people in places specifically because he's preparing for something that he wants to do, and they're part of it. You could say that you should be very happy to be part of what God had planned, and he put you somewhere. Pharaoh, I think, wouldn't agree with that because he kind of got beat up real bad. But at any rate, so Jesus puts clay on his eyes. Now, notably, this was what we're made from. God made Adam from the dust of the earth. And he you know, molded it together as clay and says, But in fact, if you did what God did on the Sabbath, that would be sin, even if God did it to them. So he made these little balls of clay to put on his eyes. So now Jesus is doing what they consider to be work. He tells them to go to Siloam and wash it off, which they consider to be work. So all this is just terrible. Both of these things are total violations of their rules. But he washed and he was healed. Now he could see for the first time in his life. So when he comes back, remember, when he left, he was blind. He doesn't know who Jesus is. He's never seen him. He was blind. So when he gets back, they say, is this really the guy who was blind from birth? It's a classic, you know, church kind of thing. We never did anything like that before. Then again, Mike Warnke once did a youth rally with rock Christian rock bands. And this old deacon came up and said, we never did anything like that before. He said, did you ever see 400 kids give their life to Christ before? Well, no. Then maybe you want to do it again. So some people say, well, no, it looks like him, but it's not really the guy. He must be around here somewhere. Let's go find him. Some say maybe he was faking it the whole time. And he just got tired of it, and now he wants, you know, whatever. But and he keeps saying, no, it was me. I was born blind. So they get the Pharisees involved. And they say, how did you get healed? Okay, you can't be healed today. It's the Sabbath. Healing is not allowed. Which sounds pretty absurd to me. But at any rate. So he tells them what happened. He explains the whole thing. And they say, well, you know this man's a sinner. He's not from God. And how can this be? He's just, you know, he's a sinner and God won't listen to sinners. So they call his parents to find out if this is the real deal. Was he really blind? And they said, now once again, they're afraid. And they say, we know it's our son. We know he was born blind. We don't know what happened. He's of age. You ask him. Because they didn't want to get thrown out of church. Or in this instance, the synagogue. So they call the man again and say, what about it? And this is the most incredible witness that can ever be. This is what I've said many times. You tell people what Jesus did for you. He says, about all this other theological nonsense, I don't know. But one thing I know, I was blind my entire life, and now I can see, and he did it. Period. You'll never convince me different. Oh, we'll throw you out with it. And then he wisely understands, I'd rather be with that guy than with those guys. Because this guy just healed me from being blind, and I think he's in charge. Okay? So then the Pharisees get into it with Jesus. Jesus finds the guy. The guy doesn't even know it's him. Probably figured it out when he heard him talk. He may have known the voice or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, and he asked the man, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he says, who is he? And I'll believe in him. What, you know, and he says, I'm him. I'm, you know, the Messiah. And he says, then I'll follow you. And so Jesus basically tells him, doesn't matter if you're kicked out of the synagogue. Okay? You're in the family of God now. Okay? So what does all this mean to us? Well, sometimes God sets things up to show who he is. He actually creates situations. We have known of people who have been going to die next month for many, many years. And the way they went through it was a witness for God. People said, I can't believe how this person does this. we knew a lady, a very, very old lady. She was in her 80s. And she finally, she just said, well, I think the Lord wants me to come home. And within a few days, she had passed away. And I told her husband, I hope that when we get to be your age, that Pat and I will be just like you and Mrs. Piper. No doubt in my mind. I want to grow up to be you. This was the kind of guy that if he rose up in a business meeting to say anything, boom, dead silence. This is Mr. Piper. This is going to be good. Okay? And everybody knew it. Often our prejudices cloud our perception. These Pharisees thought, we know so much more than anybody else. Okay? Are you trying to teach us? We're the great teachers. We're the people who know all about this. Once again, this strikes me because, as I've said many times, my dad got that crap from professional theologians and, you know, our pastors and all this kind of stuff. And then when they would try to tell him that, oh, no, he didn't know what he's talking about, he'd just tie him in a nice little knot. Well, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, let's go to this scripture. Well, let's go. You know, and they're going, how are you doing this? Because my dad didn't study in a seminary. He studied the Word of God for probably 60-odd years. So he knew it. But sometimes prejudices cloud our perception. Oh, it happened on Sabbath, so it can't be any good. He must be a sinner because he doesn't follow my rules. On the other hand, if we look at things and we say, okay, let's look at the results here. This old boy just smeared dirt on that guy's eyes, and when he washed it off, he can see. Now, we hear oftentimes about this kind of stuff happening, and over time people investigate and they find out it was pretty much a sham. There are people who they still will back up and will say, like Oral Roberts and Catherine Kuhlman and so on like that, were known for actually being healers. But you notice that you take many of these people who will tell you they're healers today, and they're doing hundreds at a time. No, they would do one or two in a service. People would come up, oh, I want to be healed, I'll pray for you. But if you don't get healed, then you just keep praying. Other times they would say, I just feel that God has given me the power, be healed. And boom, they were. But that was because they were connected to God and they knew. I've always said Jesus could do what Jesus could do because he had such a perfect connection to God that he had a perfect faith. He believed he could do it. When he said, do this and you'll be healed of your blindness, he was convinced of it. Because that's what God told him. And the main thing here is just follow Jesus. Don't worry when somebody tells you, oh no, we don't want you to be a part of us because you don't believe like we do, or we don't want you to be involved in this, that, or the other thing because you don't conform to our little regulations and stuff. Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep following Jesus. And remember, there are people out there who may have come to Christ, but they don't have a really good vision of him yet. They're brand new Christians. And so until they can see to follow him, they watch you to follow him. Okay? Roxanna's following Jesus. Let's follow Roxanna. Something like that, you know?
Just like Paul, follow me as I follow Jesus.
Yes. And once again, if you read in the epistles of Paul, he spends a lot of time beating himself up because of the stuff he did. And once again, you know, it's like a few months of being this persecutor and literally decades of serving Jesus, but he kept building himself up. And near the end of his life, he got to the point where he finally realized, I am an example. Okay? Follow me as I follow Jesus. And he would tell him, watch me. If I'm not following Jesus, you can call me, Paul the Apostle, on this. But if I am, you just follow me. And so that may be our purpose sometimes, is to get to know Jesus and to have that vision of Jesus. And we can see him. We can see where he's going. Henry Blackaby said, look for what Jesus is doing and go join him. And when we have that, then people follow us and they go, oh, there he is. Now I see. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. This is such a wonderful chapter. I just loved it. I love this guy with this absolute boldness. About that, I do not know. But one thing I know, I was blind and now I see, and he did it. Help us to be that bold. Help us to always know what we need to testify about, what we need to say. This is what Jesus has done for me. I think the pattern that they teach in some of the different groups is you say, this is how I was, and this is how I am now. And this is what he did to lead me there. Help us to burn that into our minds. Go with us as we go out into the world and help us to lead people to know you. Help this church to grow, not because we want a big church, but because we want people who have been snatched back from the brink of hell. Help us, as the Bikers for Christ say, to set up a key shop on the doorway of hell. In Jesus' name, amen.